Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our guest tonight is Tom Bloom, Director of Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service. Welcome, Tom.
Great to be here.
And joining me in our conversation is Wood Parker, also a partner of PricewaterhouseCoopers. Welcome, Wood.
Thanks very much, Paul. I'm pleased to be here as well. And Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Tom, in this first segment, let's tell us more about DFAS. What is it and what are its responsibilities?
Well, first of all, let me say that I tell anybody who will listen that I think I have the best job in Washington, D.C., and there are a couple reasons for that. One is that we have a very clear mission at Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service, and we've got some really great people. Our mission is to provide responsive, professional, finance and accounting service to the Department of Defense. And our success is actually very easily measured. It's ultimately defined by how well we service the commanders and managers in the field, with a particular emphasis on the warfighter. Some people ask about my job, and it's somewhat schizophrenic, if I might say. I ask the question sometimes: am I the chief finance and accounting officer of the largest entity in the world, which is what the Department of Defense is, or in my position as the head of the agency, am I really the CEO of a $2 billion corporation with 20,000 employees? DFAS is really big business. As the finance and accounting service for the Department of Defense, we pay out to folks over $1 billion each and every day. Each month, we pay over 5.5 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and civilian employees, as well as retired and annuitants. And we pay over 144 million invoices each year.
Tom, you mentioned that one of the descriptions or potential descriptions of your job is a CFO. And I noted in your experience, you've been a CFO before. You've also been an inspector general before. Could you talk about those two different positions and two different sets of responsibilities and what you're bringing from those experiences to the Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service?
Well, certainly the positions are very different. I've been lucky enough to be a CFO at the Department of Commerce as well as GSA, the General Services Administration. And at the Department of Commerce, I was not only CFO, but I was also the Assistant Secretary for Administration. The job at GSA was really much more of a pure accounting and finance position, although having developed a close relationship with the CEO there, I was brought into many of the discussions of general business areas. The two CFO jobs were very fulfilling jobs. We had a very clear mission. We had teams that worked together very well to get the mission accomplished, which is to give financial managers the kind of information they need to manage better. The job of an inspector general is very, very different. And I like to tell folks that the 2 years I spent as inspector general were very much character building years. It's a very difficult position to be an inspector general. There is a feeling on both sides of the fence, both in the inspector general community as well as the folks who are being looked at by the inspector general community, that it needs to be a contentious relationship. That makes that job very difficult sometimes.
How do you think those jobs prepared you for your current position?
Well, certainly the two CFO jobs very much helped me prepare for this position. They both involved a lot of finance and accounting. In fact, the GSA job was almost exactly the same. It's just that the magnitude at DOD and the Defense Finance Accounting Service is really so much larger. Another good thing about the Department of Commerce CFO job, as I mentioned, I was also the Assistant Secretary for Administration, which was very much a management job. I was very much involved in procurement as well as human resources. I had the Civil Rights Office. So it really was a broad spectrum of management, which, of course, comes in handy being the CEO of a large organization, as DFAS is.
And how about why don't we take a step back and tell us more about your career? I understand you've also been in the private sector as well, and so I'd be curious to know how that transition worked and if you think there's pluses or minuses having people come from the private sector.
Well, I've spent most of my career actually in the private sector, having been a starting from junior staff to rising to senior partner in a large CPA firm. And that actually was great preparation also. I mean, I am an accountant with all the good and bad that comes with being an accountant. And the transition actually was easier than one might think, although it wasn't my first transition from the world of public accounting into the government. I had done that once before when I was a senior banking regulator at the Federal Home Loan Bank System. So I'd done the transition before, and so I think that made it easy. But I do want everyone to know that there is a transition. There is a big difference between the private sector and the public sector. And the biggest area that I would note would be the area of risk and reward. In the public sector, too often, folks are afraid to take risks. In the private sector, we had to take risks to continue to exist, to stay relevant. We had to take risks, and there had been a history of that in the private sector. Now, that to a certain extent is changing in the public sector dramatically. And that is one of the big transitions that I think everyone in the public sector is going to have to work with. One of the things that I like to always ask our folks now that I'm in the public sector, when we're going to do something or when we're going to spend money, I'll ask the question, if it was your money, would you spend it that way? And that's sometimes a bit of a foreign concept to them, as strange as that may seem. But we are trying to change the way we think about things in the public sector, and not just at DFAS, but I think throughout the government.
Well, having been in both sectors, what is it about the public sector that attracts you?
Where else would someone give me a $2 billion business to run? So there's that factor, but I'm a third generation public servant. My grandfather was a public servant. My father was a career police officer, and so it's in my blood to a certain extent. And the work is just so interesting. You're always doing new and interesting things. And while I enjoyed my career in public accounting, as I'm sure you two enjoy your career, there's really no reward like helping out in the public sector. And again, running a business, which is what DFAS is very rewarding and very challenging.
How about in terms of attracting new employees, in terms of the attractiveness of the public sector? There are no stock options at DFAS.
None that are worth anything. it makes it a challenge, and we clearly have a challenge ahead of us in the public sector to recruit and retain the best and the brightest. Certainly, in the '60s, there was a feel with President Kennedy and some of the things that President Johnson did. There was a feel. A really good feeling about the public sector, particularly the federal public sector. In recent years, we really haven't enjoyed that same feeling in the public sector, and it does make a difference in our recruiting. And we need to be able to capitalize on the great things about public service.
Great, and it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.